Sunday. Brother West, come on, my friend. And I don't want to embarrass nobody, but so good to have Sister West's daughter with him tonight. God bless you for coming and being a part of this. And I know it'll be a thrill just to have your daughter here and to preach while your family's with you. And I appreciate that tonight. Amen. God bless you.
I'd like to say it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Appreciate God. It is good to have my daughter here. I asked my son this evening, was he going to come with me? And he says, if you're preaching, I'm not going. So I says, well, bud, they've put a time limit on you now. Glory to God. Used to on Wednesday nights, my boys told me they were the only kids in school that had to go to church on Wednesday night. They didn't know why they had to go to church on Wednesday night. So I told them, I said, I don't know about the other kids, but as long as you live with your daddy, you're going to church. So they wanted short services on Wednesday night. And back then, we sang almost as long as church services last now. So they didn't want to go if daddy was preaching. But God is good. And I hope that, as he stated, we're all still climbing the mountain, looking forward. Glory to God. Oh, no, I'm about to mess up. And I'm so funny about drinking after people that my boys, when I would buy them a Pepsi, they would say, Daddy, you want to swallow before I drink out of it? I preached a lot years back at the Lexington Church of God, and they would bring me that kind of water, and I would make one big mess. Glory to God. They said, we're on a tight budget. I said, I am too, but Judah won't buy nothing but, yeah. So that's fine for me, because in our contract, she buys all the groceries. I don't shop. If you have your Bibles tonight, glory to God, I'm going to turn to a scripture, perhaps the only scripture that's more familiar than this verse of scripture is Psalms 23, and I'm not preaching out of Psalms 23. I preached out of that little chapter one time, and I preached, I think, 2 months or so out of that one little 23rd Psalm. But I'm going to minister to you tonight out of the book of John, St. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want you to know tonight that this is a church of God. So that means we are Pentecostals. So shouting and amen and raising your hands won't scare me. Glory to God. In fact, we ought to always come in ready to praise him, shouldn't we? Glory to God. Years ago, glory to God, I'm going to talk my sermon away. Years ago, those dear old saints of God prayed before they got to church. And when you walked through the doors, you could feel the Shekinah glory as you walked through. As I read tonight, I would like for, if you would please, to stand, sing John chapter 3 and verse 16. Glory to God. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I approach your great throne of mercy and of grace, I come before you tonight, Lord, with a sincere heart, realizing, Lord, that within me, glory to God, the only thing within me that's good is the Spirit of God. But I can do nothing, Lord, without you. So I invite you to come. Holy Spirit, fill the sanctuary. Move out of the sanctuary anything that would bind or hinder the ministering of your word. I ask you, Father, that all of us would dismiss the cares of the world from our minds, and that we would focus, Lord, on you, and ask of you mercy for God to have your rightful right away in this service. Then be willing vessels, Lord, to obey the moving of your Spirit. Whatever you do for us here in the service tonight, mighty God, I am going to exhort you and say, Lord, you did it. Now you anoint me for your glory. Anoint every person here to hear and to receive your word and to hide it in our hearts. Mighty God, I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. There are a lot of different ways that you can preach this verse of Scripture. So many different avenues that we could probably minister for several weeks out of this one verse. But I want to talk about a subject that I like tonight, and that's love. Love at its highest. And I'm going to, if I can, sort of go slow, which sometimes it's hard for me to do. But I'm going to try to lay a foundation tonight that I can preach on. Glory to God. In this verse, we see love in action. Love is an action verb. I didn't learn a whole lot in English because it wasn't my favorite subject. But I do know that love is an action verb. Words are cheap. You can say all kinds of things, glory to God, but love is an action verb. Love at its highest. And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight on tonight. Jesus loving a world of sinners. Think about it. Jesus left the ivory palaces of glory, and he came to earth sorrow that you and I, who are hell-deserving creatures, might be saved. He loved us so much, he was willing to lay his life down for us. You think about it. The Bible says there's none holy, no, not one. And when we look at mankind from God's standpoint and through the eyes of God, there is not one of us, not a one of us who really deserves heaven. We don't deserve the goodness of God, but God loved us so much, glory to God, and Jesus loved us so that he was willing to come and to die on an old rugged cross that you and I could be reconciled back to the Father. Can I tell you that thought alone is enough that we ought to walk through the doors of this church and come in shouting and praising and glorifying God. In fact, church tonight, if you have truly been born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that alone is enough to get excited over. Glory to God. Because the multitudes tonight, glory to God, have not truly been born again. Glory to God. Look around this church at all those empty pews. Glory to God. It ought to cause you to want to really love God and worship God and magnify God and get a little excited. Glory to God. When I was a little boy, we liked it. Them folks shouted and jumped and ran and did a lot of things that to the world they might have thought they was crazy. So I'm telling you tonight, shouting may be gone out of style, but shouting and praising and worshiping God will never be out of order. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Love in action. Jesus laid down his life for us. I want to talk about this little word 4. We could build a sermon on the little word so, but God led me this way, and I'm going to go slow to get you, hopefully, with your thinking cap on, and perhaps nothing you've never heard before, but it will be a refresher to you. The word for presents an interesting study. Greek scholars tells us that there are two Greek prepositions translated for the word for in English, but they have entirely different meanings. Think about it. For instance, in 1 Timothy 2 and 6, we read that Christ, as Paul was writing to Timothy, gave himself a ransom for all. And then in Matthew 20 and 28, we read where Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. I want you to get it in, so I'm going to go slow here. These two scriptures seem to be flat contradiction to each other, but they are not. And I'm going to explain to you why they're not. Paul said, for all. God gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus said, for many. So which is it? Did Jesus die for all, or did Jesus die for many? Can I tell you, Jesus died for both. He died for all, and he died for many. Glory to God. You see, in Timothy 2:6, the word for in literal translation from the Greek means on behalf of. Then Jesus died on behalf of all. God so loved the world, the whole world, everybody. Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. But Matthew 20:28, the literal translation of the word for, means instead of. Christ died instead of many, not instead of all. I hope I don't lose you. We know that not all will be saved, and that kind of is sad. But we know that everybody is not going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus died for all mankind. No matter who you are or where you came from, Jesus died for all. Glory to God. Even though all will not be saved, Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Can I tell you tonight that it's not God's will that anybody perish? The Father paid a tremendous price. His desire is that everybody will climb that mountain, that everybody will enjoy the splendors of heaven. But can I tell you, it's sad tonight, everybody is not climbing that mountain, and everybody is not going to get saved. Glory to God. Therefore, Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Glory to God. The invitation is to whosoever will. Aren't you glad? Not this one or that one, but whosoever will. The invitation is given, but we know that not all will come to him. Therefore, Christ died instead of many. The many who will accept him as their personal Savior, they will not die. Think about it. They will live because he lives. We're going to live forever. You see, Jesus gave himself for the whole world. He died that all might live. But we must receive the finished work of Jesus Christ in order to be saved, in order to have life, and not all will receive him. You see, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, that who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you tonight that God loves all, everybody. God loves everybody, but he can only save those who will believe in his only begotten Son. Only those that will come and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Only those who will accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Only those can God save. Glory to God. Though he loves the whole world. You see, he cannot love those who refuse to believe in him or in Jesus. If he did, he would cease to be righteous. Think about it. Glory to God. I told you it's hard for me to go slow. Glory to God. You see, God's plan of salvation was designed and perfected before the foundation of the world. This is what Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2, verses 18 through 23. And I've often thought about it. We talk about love. What love God had. When God wanted to create a creature to worship him, and before he scooped the dust from the earth and created Adam, God knew that man would reject him, that man would walk from away from him and would not live for him. So what did God do? He didn't say, well, it would be useless to create man. No, God, beloved, sat down, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they came up with a plan that could redeem fallen man. You tell me, church, if that is not love. Glory to God. God died for me, beloved, before I was born. He knew that Charles West was going to mess up. He knew that I was going to fall short. And he knew that without a Savior, that I would never make it into heaven. Glory to God. God loved us so much. You think about it. How would you like, I'm not much of a builder, but if you was to create something you knew before you put that last nail in, it was going to fall all to pieces. Would you waste your time building it? Think about it. Yeah, that's what God did. God knew that man was going to become sinful creatures. He knew that they was going to walk contrary to what he created them for. So what did he do? He came up with a perfect plan, glory to God, to redeem man. Therefore, God created this thing before the foundation of the world, and what God has proclaimed, God cannot change. Think about it. God cannot change it, so it stands, beloved. Jesus, glory to God, can I tell you tonight, church, all who believe are saved. And I was thinking on this little phrase, and I thought how we ought to come in this place shouting. It don't matter to God, and this might seem ugly, but this is what I want you to know, or anybody that's hearing me. God don't care how many people you slept with. God don't care how much liquor you drank. God don't care how much dope you smoke. God don't care how much you've stolen. God don't care how much you've taken his name in vain. He don't care if you live on a mountain, go to a mansion on a mountain, or a little shack by the side of the road. Can I tell you that all that come to God can be saved? Hallelujah. It don't matter where we come from. Glory to God. Too often, church folk, we want to pick and choose, but not God.
It don't matter if you stink so bad that you can't get close to you. Glory to God. Can I tell you, beloved? I lived in Texas. I managed a store not far from me. Was winos. If they came within a half a mile, seemed you could smell them coming. Can I tell you, when you compare man to God, we probably smelled worse than they did. But can I tell you, when you come to God, it don't matter. Glory to God. All that come to God will be saved. Can I tell you, I shared with you last Wednesday that when I was in South Carolina, a student at Holmes Bible College, I worked with Holmes Little Mission. And we would get out and knock on doors and visit. And this family kept saying, "Why, you need this family over there." And they kept calling by name. And they did that to me so much until I said, "Why do you think we need that family more than all these folks up and down these streets?" And this is what they told me. "Why, that family's got a lot of money. So we need them in church. They got money." Glory to God. Can I tell you, if you stand for Jesus, He'll supply the need. Glory to God. The light bills will be paid. Glory to God. Every bill that comes, the church will function. Glory to God. Years ago, glory to God, I don't know how many of you remember Oliver Green. As a little boy, I remember my mother listening to him. He said he got more help from dollar givers than big givers. Glory to God. So I'm glad that God don't just go looking for those that's got money. If he did, I'd still be that little barefoot country boy lost. Glory to God. But I stand before you tonight cleansed because God gave Jesus to die. Glory to God for me. Glory to God. All that come to him will be saved, but it's sad. All who refuse to believe are lost. All who fail to accept Jesus Christ are going to die unprepared and forever in that lake of fire they're going to be. I have heard people say, "If God is such a loving God, why would he send somebody to hell?" Can I tell you, every person that's gone to hell, they have crossed the bloodline to get there. God has done everything that a God could do to make sure that we don't go to that awful place. Think about it. He sent his son to die on the cross. He gave to us the infallible word. He sent on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to teach us, to guide us, and to help us through this sinful world. Can I tell you tonight, beloved? I feel that every person that don't make it, they deserve to go there. When they think about what our God has done for us, a bundle of dirt that God scooped up in the ground, he sent his only son to die in our stead. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Am I glad? Yes, I am glad. Because he took my place. It is a daily prayer of mine that I thank God for taking my place, for dying for me, glory to God, for bringing me out of darkness and bringing me into his marvelous light, glory to God. I don't think I'm going to finish tonight neither. I tried to shrink this thing down, glory to God. I want to run this little illustration by you, glory to God. Wouldn't it be great when we get to heaven, springtime forever, but no allergies? Wouldn't it be great? Those who refuse to receive Jesus must pay the debt themselves. Think about it. I want to try to illustrate, as I found this studying, illustrate the two fours that we talked about in this manner so you would understand it maybe better. Suppose a man is traveling along on a highway in the wee hours of the morning and sees a house engulfed with flames with a family of a mother, a father,
and 5 children asleep in this home. The traveler rushes up to the house, beats on the door until the mother rushes to the door. The traveler rushes in and picks up the mother bodily and carries her out. He runs back in and he picks up the baby and he rushes that baby back out. And he runs back in and he gets another one and he brings that one out. He runs in and he gets another one and he brings that one out. And he goes back in and the smoke overtook him and he dies in the fire. Think about it. Glory to God. He saw the danger. He gave his life on behalf of all the occupants of the house. But he only gave his life instead of the 4 he managed to save. So I hope this will help you to understand the 2 different meanings, glory to God, where the scripture says that Christ gave himself a life for all. And glory to God, and he says he gave himself a ransom for many. Though Jesus died for all of mankind, only those who accept him did he die in their stead. If you die without Christ, if you refuse to accept him, you're going to pay the debt. And what a terrible, terrible debt it's going to be. Glory to God. This perhaps is a cruel illustration of this verse. Glory to God. But I want to bring it to 1 John 3:16 where it talks about, and I'm going to rush here. Glory to God. 1 John 3:16, we find here it says, "Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." I ask you tonight, does this mean that we're to die like Jesus did on the cross? Does this mean that I ought to take your place and die? Glory to God. Think about it. The Greek translated, "lay down," glory to God. Let me make sure I'm not skipping some. I want you to get what I'm sharing. Does this mean we're to die? No, it doesn't. It means that we should lay our lives down and living for them, not dying. The Greek translation, "lay down," is having to do with Jesus dying on the cross, signifies that the act was done once for all at a definite, specific time and moment, and that it was finished, never to be repeated. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory to God. However, the Greek translated "lay down" concerning believers, laying down their lives for the brethren, it's in another tense, signifying not once for all, but a continual process. Think about it. God gave his best for man. He loved us so much, he died. Think about it. Jesus sacrificed his life once, never to be sacrificed again. Christians are called upon to present themselves a living sacrifice. This is what Paul said in Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, beloved, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." Can I tell you tonight, church, that the physical body of the believer constitutes the vehicle through which either righteousness or unrighteousness is carried out. Love at its highest. Jesus died for us. Love at its highest for man. We are to become living sacrifices. Think about it. I want to try to put all this together in about, more time than I thought, so I can preach a while. I'm watching my clock, watching, I speeded it up. What you and I need to realize, we're to be living sacrifices. That means, as I said last week, when you're climbing that mountain, you should be willing to throw it away, give it up, do whatever that you can make it to the top. Can I tell you tonight, church, you ought to love God enough that you're willing to sacrifice whatever you have to sacrifice to please God.
Hear me, too many are concerned about pleasing man. When I first began to preach, I wanted everybody to pat me on the back. Then God taught me, it don't matter if you shake my hand. It don't matter if you shake a fist at me. It don't matter if you accept it or if you reject it. When God gives it to me, I'm going to give it to you. And what you do with it is between you and God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But when you think about is this into the death, God loved you. Who are we? Think about where you were before you got saved. God loved you enough that he gave his best. We ought to love God enough to give him our best. Glory to God. And when I look around in this church tonight, I'm thinking, glory to God. The Bible teaches us. And when I passed a little church, I was hard on this one scripture. Glory to God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Hear it in our church. It is a command of God that you come to church. But this is how I feel, that you ought to come to church, not because God demands you to come, but you ought to come to church because you love God so much that you aren't going to stay out of the house of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to want to come because you're so excited that God picked you up out of the muck and the mire of this world. Had a nobody. My terminology. I was a country boy this summer. I didn't know about shoes, but going to town and going to church, I went barefooted. Glory to God. But God looked down to a barefoot country boy working in the sandy fields. Glory to God. And he saved my soul. And he told me one day, you're going to walk on streets of gold. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to come to church because he demands me to come or commands me. No, church, this place ought to be full with people coming to love him, to honor him, and to worship him. Glory to God. Think about it. We're all coming closer to the end. If Jesus don't soon come, you look around. Glory to God. The promise is 70. I passed that already. How much longer do we have? We're getting closer to the end. We ought to be more excited. You think about it. The average church person gets more excited about going on a vacation than they do in the coming of Jesus. You think about it. Vacation costs you. When you go on vacation, more especially now, gasoline's so high. Motels are high, food's high, everything's expensive. But can I tell you, when Jesus splits the sky, glory be unto God, it don't matter if you got $100 in your pocket or a dime in your pocket, you're going to just lose hold of gravity and you're going to go sailing away. We have that hope because God gave us his best. Glory to God, and I can draw up my toes and polish my shoes and say, oh me, because I'm afraid too often we don't give God our best. Too often we want to give God the leftovers. Well, we ought to put him first, church. We ought to love God more than we love anything in this world. Can I tell you, I love my mother with all my heart, but my mother could only do so much for me. Glory to God. But Jesus knows how to come. When I'm hurting, he can ease the pain. When I'm troubled, he knows how to bring relief from it. Glory to God. When I'm struggling, I don't know what I'm going to do, he can bring me an answer. And when I come down to die, beloved, I believe he's going to send heaven's best to get me and take me home to glory. Glory to God. And I can't come to church and worship God. Can I tell you now, church, you have a God-given right to come into this place and get a little emotional. Yes, yes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to his name. I told my brother a few years ago, well, it's been a right good while because he's been passing away a long time. I said, brother, they used to call us holy rollers. Why don't they call us that no more? He says, because we aren't rolling anymore. Glory to God. Pentecostal churches used to carry on so. Glory to God, not nice churches like this. In the summertime, you open the windows and people would come out of curiosity. They want to see what in the world them people's doing. Glory to God. I know a man from Lenore, North Carolina. He says They came into his community with a tent. He said, my daddy and his brother, which was his uncle, he said, they sat on their front porch drinking and laughing and poking fun of them people in that tent. He said, but every night they got a little closer. They want to get a closer look at what them crazy people, all that hooping and hollering. And finally they got close enough, they got on the inside and they can sing that old song, Something Got a Hold of Me. Glory to God. They built a Pentecostal church there. One of them became a preacher and the other became a deacon in that church. And they came out of curiosity. I say this with love. How long since we've had a visitor to come and see what's going on in the Thomasville Church of God? Glory to God. Think about it. God is still God. Aren't you glad he loved you? Aren't you glad he didn't just give you second best? Praise God. And aren't you glad he didn't bypass you for that rich person like the couple when I was in South Carolina was trying to get us to get in church? God loves all mankind. Can I tell you, when the angels announced Jesus, they didn't go to the high priest, the dignitaries, the king, the rich folk. They went out to a lowly group of shepherds. And can I tell you, in that day, that was the lowest of the low, a shepherd. But that's who he came, and he sent the angels to announce the birth of Jesus. God has already showed me, either in a dream or a vision, I don't know what, two angels taking me out of this world. I'm excited about it, church. And I believe it's time we all get excited. Glory to God. I passed a little church and all my seniors kept telling me what they used to do. I said, how about now? Why ain't you doing it now? I said, be an example for my young folk. And I said, what better way to go if you're afraid if I get up and run, I may have a heart attack. I said, what better way to go than shouting, praising God in the house of God? Glory to God. You look at me when I get excited, I still can't help but run and jump and get a little excited. Glory to God. In fact, I don't know no better way to go, do you? Than when you're feeling God and just be translated out of this world. Praise God. I hope I've shared something that will be a blessing to you, that will encourage you to love Jesus, that will encourage you to be in church. My heart hurts, glory to God, when I think about what God did for mankind. And yet man's rejecting him, and it's so hard to get church folk to come. Even sometimes in revivals. When I was a boy and our church had revival church around the neighborhood would come. That church would be so packed and people were standing all outside. And can I tell you, every revival they had, a lot of people got saved. Now you can hardly get Christian folk to come. Glory to God. And so I told my son, it's a fast food day. We want it quick. We want it now. We want it over with. Glory to God. But when I used to pastor, I used to tell my folk, what are you in a hurry for? I said, when you come in this place, the Shekinah glory is going to fill the house. And when the presence of God is, the devil isn't coming. I said, but guess what? He's standing on the outside of that door waiting for you. Why do you want to get back out there where he is? Glory to God. I'm just putting that in. I know. We're at a different time, and I'm trying to find a closing. I don't know if you want me to close. Are you going to close, brother? Glory to God. Love him tonight, church. Pray for me. Glory to God. I want to share heaven with all of you. Glory to God. I'm not stingy. I don't want to be there by myself. I don't like being by myself. Do you? Glory to God. God bless you. Come on, brother.
Amen. Let Brother West know how much you appreciate the Word of God. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Brother West, you don't mind me asking how old you are. Yeah. 76. I pray that when I'm 76, I still got your steam, man, and the energy to do it. Amen. Great word. Great word. And I agree with it. Amen. We need to be alert and agile about the Father's business. Amen. A couple of prayer requests that I needed to mention too. Again, we know Brother Ron Fowler, his sister Pat is in the hospital needing prayer, and I had to go out and make a couple of phone calls. Remember Artie and his family, they just need prayer this evening. And also Shelba. I've talked to Shelba several times while I've been gone, and she's told me a little bit about what's going on with her. And I didn't want to leave tonight and without calling her name in prayer as well. So if you would, if all my hearts and minds are clear, you're getting out early tonight. And yeah, Brother Wes went right through it, didn't he? So let's stand together. We're going to beat the young people out of the gym, I think. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, we do love you. Father, we honor you and we thank you, God, for the word of the Lord. And Father, the scripture does say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as we see that day approaching, Father. And Lord, everywhere we go and everyone we talk to that are children of God say, you know what? I believe the Lord is coming. And you know, I agree with them. I say, I do too. And Lord, I know yesterday was the voting day thing. And Lord, I heard even today people say, well, we need God. One man told me today, he said, I'm not a preacher, but I realize how much we need God. We need God's help. So, Father, we need you to help us to turn this nation back to you. Father, so many things and so many people have said things to me recently that's even gotten my attention. So, Father, help us not to be slothful. Help us not to be lazy or anything in about your business, but to be fervent. Father, I pray, God, that you'd put an unction and a desire in our hearts and those listening to be in your house, to worship you and to honor you. And Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord as we went forth that Jesus did die. Jesus went